Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Today we're going to study John chapter 14, verses 25 to 31. John chapter 14, verses 25 to 31. Now keep in mind a contrast here between the Holy Spirit and the devil. Let's read John chapter 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave you with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. Now, in this little passage of Scripture here, Jesus Christ told his disciples that he would be leaving to go to his Father, but he would not leave them comfortless. He said that he would send the Holy Ghost. You read that in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, and so forth. But he also said that he was getting ready to leave, and that somebody else was coming. He said the prince of this world is coming. He said that in verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. And what's the characteristic of the prince of this world? He says, he hath nothing in me. So we're going to look at what the Holy Ghost was coming to do, and then we're going to contrast that with what the prince of this world does in the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by comparing the two, we'll be able to see something of what was going on in this passage. Now let's look. Because he does say this. He says, you know, I'm telling you these things in verse 25. He said, I've spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Okay, now I'm leaving. Verse 26, the Holy Ghost is coming, and he's going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And then he says, hereafter I'll not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Contrast, contrast. All right, now we're going to contrast the Holy Spirit and the devil, just in the things of this text, in four different respects. And the first one is this. The Holy Spirit deals with truth, and the devil with error. There's the contrast. The Holy Spirit deals with truth, and the devil with error. Look again in verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, what's he going to do? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So the teacher of the Bible then is the Holy Spirit. And what is he called in John chapter 16 verse 13? He's called the Spirit of Truth. And the Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into what? He will guide you into all truth. for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Spirit of truth keeps a man from error by guiding him into the truth. Look again in John chapter 15 at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, and so forth and so on. He's called the Spirit of truth. Now, the Spirit of truth is in you. He said, I'm going to send him to you. And the Bible shows us that the Spirit of truth is in you, and the Spirit of truth is in me. And he brings all things to our remembrance and teaches us. Okay, look over here in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 at verses 26 and 27, and notice this thing. 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 show you something very interesting. John said this, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now that's a very, very, very powerful passage of Scripture right there. Because here's what it shows you. It shows you that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth, is in you and teaches you and anoints you and teaches you all things. And he's the truth. There's no lie in what he teaches you. That's what he shows you. Now, we know from Ephesians chapter 4 that the Lord gave pastors and teachers to the body of Christ to edify the body and for the work of the ministry and those kinds of things. So what happens is that when a man is teaching you and you are looking at the Scripture, the Spirit of God doesn't give you a feeling or an impression. The Spirit of God guides you in that truth so that if the guy is teaching you a lie or an error, you can see it. Where? In your spirit? No. You might feel something, but then again, you may not. I mean, you can't trust your feelings. No, what the Spirit does is he guides you into the truth, so he will show you the cross references of Scripture to see whether the guy is telling you the truth or not. I remember just the other day I was listening to a radio broadcast, and the broadcaster, the preacher, whatever he is, kept telling one of his callers that there was no way he could cleanse himself because he'd already been cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And I understand that. Your soul and my soul are totally and absolutely clean. There's no doubt about it. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. But you know what? You're still in your flesh, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And consequently, your body and even your spirit have a tendency to be defiled by this world. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved," watch it, he said, "let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now that guy said, absolutely, in no uncertain terms, without condition, that Paul lied. That's what he said. Now, he didn't tell you that. He didn't get on the air and say Paul lied. What he said is there's no way for you to cleanse yourself. And yet Paul told you in 2 Corinthians 7:1, you've got to do that. Another question came up about the Holy Spirit being breathed on them or something like that. From John chapter 21 said the Lord breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Or John chapter 20. And he said, well, they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Nobody received the Holy Ghost until Acts chapter 2. But that's not so. John chapter 20, verse 22 said, "When he had said this, he breathed on them, And the guy on the air said, that's not correct. It just said he took a deep breath. It isn't what it said. He said he breathed on them. And saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, it wasn't the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ that they received, but the Spirit did come on them, just like he did on people in the Old Testament. So the guy, you know what he did is he said some things that weren't so. Now, did my spirit give me some sort of feeling to tell me that the guy was wrong? No. But the cross references of Scripture were brought to my remembrance by the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus Christ said when he said, and he shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And by checking the cross references, found that the guy was teaching an error. What is that? That is that anointing of 1 John chapter 2. That's one of the main things the Holy Spirit came to do for you. One of the main reasons that Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit and the Father sent the Holy Spirit here. But now see, in contrast, the devil is interested in error. As an example, look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse 17. The devil is interested in error. And notice these guys. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now the devil is very, very clever to feed you a spirit, to give you the impression that something you have learned in the Bible is right. And that spirit will compel you, if you're not careful, that spirit will compel you to change the Bible in order to fit what you now believe to be the truth. And that's what trouble this broadcaster got into the other day. And the problem is, you don't want to come to the Bible and force it to fit your doctrine to prove that what you believe is right in every place that you read it. You want to fit your doctrine to go with what the Bible says, and you want to adjust yourself to the Bible rather than to adjust the Bible to yourself. And these guys here, Hymenaeus and Philetus, didn't do that. In Proverbs chapter 19, we're given instruction by Solomon, who said this, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So there is an instruction that causeth you to err from the words of knowledge. You've got to be real careful about that thing. Eve wasn't. In Genesis chapter 3, we see how the devil operates as one that loves error. He came to her and he baited the hook and he said to her about dying concerning eating the fruit. He said, ye shall not surely die. He didn't say, you shall not die. If he'd have said that, it had been an all-out lie. This was a lie anyway, but it would have been a bold lie. You shall not die. He didn't say that. He's very clever. He said, you shall not surely die. The Lord had said, ye shall surely die. He said, you shall not surely die. I mean, in other words, you may, but it's not a sure thing. And he really tricked her with that. And then he said, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's true. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's true. Pleasant to the eyes, that's true. A tree to be desired to make one wise, that's true. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Notice that the devil always deals in the positive. Ye shall be as gods. Your eyes shall be opened. The tree was good for food. Pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired to make one wise. One of the telltale signs of error is the positive approach. So you got to be careful about that. You know, the Bible is balanced negative preaching and positive preaching. A car battery is balanced negative and positive. Electricity is balanced negative and positive. It's what causes the current to move. And this Bible is balanced. Paul said, I've not ceased to preach unto you all the counsel of God, or some say, the whole counsel of God, the good and the bad. In one place he'll say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In another place he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Positive and negative. And what happens is the devil strips out the negative and he deals with the positive. And then you get into trouble. Look in 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 and 6, and then we'll move on to another subject. This is one we want to deal with because it's vitally important. It's one of the main things the Holy Spirit came to do, and most people are trying to get a sensation or a feeling about what he's teaching, and it's not a feeling, it's not a sensation, it's not an impression, it's not an audible voice. It is the words of God clearly written for you in the Bible. Now, today you've got so many modern translations out there, you know, you're not giving the Holy Spirit anything to work with. You're giving man scholarship something to work with. That's a major, major error on the part of the devil. All right, 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 6. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Notice they are both spirits. One deals with truth, that's the Holy Spirit, and one deals with error, that's the devil. And believe me, he is very active in operating today. All right, so that's the first thing, the first contrast. The Lord said, I'm leaving, the Comforter's coming. He also said, the prince of this world cometh. And boy, they came to do opposite things. One to give you the truth, to bring all things to your remembrance, to teach you all things, and to guide you into the truth. The other one, to cause you to err. And he's very subtle, very clever, not obvious at all. But then there's another difference. The Holy Spirit came to bring you peace. The devil came to cause you to worry. Look at peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And then he kind of describes it. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, that's one thing that peace will do. Neither let it be afraid, that's another thing peace will do. No worry, no fear. Now, you know, when you read the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you read this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what? Peace. He says in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. The peace that passeth all understanding, keep your heart and your mind. People are on mental-altering drugs today. They're on heart-altering drugs today. And you know something? The Holy Spirit came to solve both of those problems by giving you peace. Now, in Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7, we find some interesting things here. Psalm 37, verse 1, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They'll be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. See that thing? So the Holy Spirit came so you wouldn't have to fret, wouldn't have to worry. You'd have peace. A peace that would override all worry, a peace that would override all fear. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You know, people today are scared. You know, I know that. I talk to people. They call. I talk to them. I see them out in public, talk to them at their doorsteps. People are scared. And the Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's that peace. That's that peace. You know, more and more people ought to get acquainted with this ministry of the Holy Spirit and not be so concerned with all the garb they hear on in the media that keeps them juked up and scared about everything that's going to happen here in the earth. The Bible says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But you know something? The devil came to cause people to worry, to fear. I listen to a lot of these people that, you know, do like health commercials and finance commercials and legal commercials and things like that. And they write us here at the church, and they talk about law, you know, and things concerning churches. You know what they? You know what they base their sales on? Fear. If you don't take this herb, you're going to die. If you don't do this exercise program, you're going to die. If you don't follow this rule, you're going to get sued. If you don't have this type of insurance, you're going to suffer a great loss. All of that stuff is motivated in your life by fear, and it all comes from the devil. In Matthew chapter 6, you know, the Lord said, "Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And that is true. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's absolutely the truth. You know, and the devil works that thing to his advantage. People are today don't have the money to take care of some of the things they'd like to do for the Lord because it's all tied up in things they've been scared to death into buying. Oh, well. All right, and then we've got this. The Holy Spirit not only gives you peace and truth, He also gives you joy. That's what He came to do. The devil, on the other hand, loves misery. Look at verse 28. "You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." And truthfully, that's available to you and I because of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians, again, when we deal with the fruit of the Spirit, he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Well, that's a tremendous thing. You know, we're in the kingdom of God. If a man is born again, he gets put in the kingdom of God. Except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, you get born again, you get to enter the kingdom of God. And in Romans 14:17, he tells us what that kingdom is like. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. That was the second point. And joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, that's ours. Nehemiah told us, the joy of the Lord is your strength. A lot of Christians are weak today. Reason being, they don't have any joy. Reason being, they've given in to the devil's world of misery. You see, when the Holy Spirit came, the prince of this world came also. But he doesn't have anything in God. He has nothing in me, Jesus said. So whatever the Holy Spirit gives you, he's going to give you something else. Now the devil will trick you. You know, on this deal we just studied about error, he'll give you some knowledge. And you think you'll be right. I mean, you think you'll be right. But it's an error. And worry, he'll call it prudence and wisdom for you to tie yourself up into all these financial things and problem things. And misery, man, what a thing that devil gives you. What he'll do is he'll give you pleasures of sin for a season, and then when you've stayed too long and spent too much and you can't get loose, you'll be in misery. You see, the best example of the way the devil operates in that deal is Job. Job lived a life that was perfectly righteous before God in so many respects. The trouble is, Job was self-righteous. It was a heart problem. God had to work that out of him. But the devil came around, and the Bible told us that Job was perfect in all his ways, and God complimented him. And the devil said, yeah, but hurt him, and it'll all go away. So, man, he took all of his assets, all of his servants, all of his children, and then took his health and gave him nothing but misery for his all of his years of service to the Lord. That's the devil. The devil is comforted in your loss. The devil is comforted in your misery. That's what he came to give you. But he'll trick you. He'll put a little baited hook out there and make it look great. Like a guy gets the hots for some woman. He says, boy, now that'd make a great wife. And of course, all she is pretty. And he's handsome. So they marry. And the next thing you know, they're doing a little dope, doing a little alcohol. And they start fussing and fighting and carrying on. Next thing you know, their marriage is busted up. And they're in absolute misery. What happened? Got tricked? Holy Spirit wasn't any part of that deal. All right, and then finally in this text, we see that the Holy Spirit comes so that you can believe some things. In verse 29, "Now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe." Well, the Spirit of God had to give them a belief in that thing, and that's what he came to do. Now, the Bible says in John 16 about the Holy Spirit, when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, why? Because they believe not on me. So the Holy Spirit is the interpreter of Scripture. He's the one that will cause you to be able to understand what you're reading. That's his purpose, among other things. The Bible says that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how they preached. Consequently, the verse before that says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. I hear people talk about this phrase. They say, we're not going to talk about that. That's secondary doctrine. Let me tell you something. There's no such thing in the Bible as secondary doctrine. Not really. Doctrine is what the Bible says. There's either doctrine or false doctrine. There's either truth or error. Farmer says, that's secondary doctrine. One guy says, we're not going to talk about the rapture. That's secondary doctrine. You believe it comes before the tribulation. This guy believes in the middle of the tribulation. This guy doesn't believe there's a rapture. This guy believes it happens at the end of tribulation. Well, let me tell you something. One of those guys is right, and three of those guys is wrong. It's not secondary doctrine. One is doctrine. It's the truth. The other three are false doctrine. Got to keep that in mind, see? Now, if you want to understand what it is and you don't want to have private interpretation about it, you're going to have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to understand what to believe. And if you don't, you're going to get in a mess. Why? Because the devil came so that they would not believe. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what he came to do. In the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, when that stuff is sown out there on the wayside, it's a picture of the devil coming along and taking away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The great deceiver, the great unbeliever, is the devil. So you've got these two forces, these two spirits, working constantly here in the world ever since the departure of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit bringing you to truth, bringing you to peace, bringing you to joy, and bringing you to believe the words of God, and the devil coming to cause error, to cause worry, to cause misery, and to cause unbelief. Now, if you find yourself in error, worry, misery, and unbelief, then you're listening to the spirit of the prince of this world. And what you need to do is you need to confess that before the Lord and get right with God and get the Holy Spirit in there, bringing you joy and peace and truth and belief. And it's that simple. It is that simple.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at our website.